Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are continuing our discussion on the book called The Miracle of Forgiveness. Yesterday, we were looking at chapter 2, and there was just so much in that chapter that we wanted to break it up into two segments. In the second half, we want to once again go back to page 25. So if you have a copy of The Miracle of Forgiveness, you want to look at page 25. And we want to go through the list of sins that Spencer Kimball has for us to look over and compare some of the things he says up and see if Joseph Smith actually withstood the test of these. And of course, when we go through there, knowing Joseph Smith's behavior, his lifestyle, there are certainly some doubts whether or not even Joseph Smith was coming clean on a lot of these issues. First of all, we look at number one, adultery. Adultery. Now, a Mormon might argue, though, Eric, is it wasn't really adultery because Joseph Smith claimed that God sanctioned these marriages that he had with these other women. Well, how would you respond to that?
This idea is, I think, mistaken completely. Before we even go there, Bill, I just want to say adultery. What is adultery? I mean, it depends on who's doing the defining, but Jesus did the defining, and he said adultery was even lusting after somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he lists these things here in this kind of an order, and he puts murder number one and adultery number two, I think most Mormons think those are the top two sins, and yet I think everybody is guilty of those kinds of things when we hate people or when we lust after other people.
Now, Jesus was pretty tough on that. There's no doubt about it. But when he talks about adultery and how a Mormon will usually respond, and we know this because we've heard them say it, but yeah, it wasn't adultery because God sanctioned it. Listen very carefully to what M. Russell Ballard, a Mormon apostle, said in a talk that he gave in General Conference back in 1999. It was in October of 1999. If you want to find his conference talk, it's in the November 1999 issue of The Ensign, page 64. This is what he said. False prophets and false teachers are also those who attempt to change the God-given and scripturally based doctrines that protect the sanctity of marriage, the divine nature of the family, and the essential doctrine of personal morality. They advocate a redefinition of morality to justify fornication, adultery, and homosexual relationships. Now, that's a Mormon apostle giving the Mormon people a means of determining who is and who is not a false prophet. Now, here's what's interesting. When Joseph Smith was taking on all these extra wives, there were people that were very close to Smith within his own church who immediately had a problem with this because they recognized that Joseph Smith was, in fact, redefining morality in order to justify his fornication and adultery. Why is it that Joseph Smith gets a pass?
Well, and if I'm a Mormon, Bill, I'm going to say to you, but God told him it was okay in D&C 132.
And that's the whole problem. This is exactly what a false prophet would do in order to justify their sin, is they would say that God is backing up what they're doing. David Koresh did that down in Waco, outside of Waco, Texas. He used that same type of ploy in order to get his people to think that what he was doing wasn't all that wrong.
Well, Bill, a lot of people are going to probably say, are you kidding me? Brigham Young was polygamous, but Joseph Smith, was he polygamous?
A lot of Mormons don't even know that. We've talked to many Latter-day Saints who insist that Joseph Smith only had one wife, and that was Emma. And that's just not true, and it's not that difficult to figure that out. Going on in this list, we talk about unfaithfulness. Well, of course, unfaithfulness is part and parcel to adultery. And we would have to say that Joseph Smith was, in fact, unfaithful to Emma. A good book to read on that would be that book about Emma Smith, Mormon Enigma, is an excellent book. One of the few books I've ever read that really made me angry when I was reading this, to see what this man did to his wife, Emma, who was faithful to him all those years.
And a couple of other books, In Sacred Loneliness by Todd Compton, as well as Mormon Polygamy by Van Wagner.
Mm-hmm. Those are good books.
So these are books, if anybody doubts what you're saying, Bill, I think they need to go do some research from Mormon sources, people who are Latter-day Saints.
I don't think a lot of people really understand where we're getting this information. We are getting it from LDS sources, books written by Mormons, many of whom are very faithful in their Mormon faith and have no reason to be considered what they would tag a lot of other critics as being anti. But certainly, this is where we're getting the information. So we can back up these statements. We know what we're talking about on these issues. Now, when it talks about high-mindedness, certainly Joseph Smith would fall into that category. I mean, as far as boasting is concerned, what was one of the statements that Joseph Smith made not long before he died?
Well, in History of the Church, Volume 6, page 408 and 409, he says, "I have more to boast of than any man had. I am the only man who has ever been able to keep a whole church together since the days of Adam. A large majority of the whole have stood by me." And then he says this, Bill, this to me is quite blasphemous. "Neither Paul, John, Peter, nor Jesus ever did it. I boast that no man has ever done such a work as I. The followers of Jesus ran away from him, but the Latter-day Saints never ran away from me yet."
But yet, when you bring that quotation up to a lot of Latter-day Saints, they want to defend Smith, they want to excuse it, they want to find any way they can to get around that accusation that Joseph Smith was either high-minded or even boasting in that statement. Well, what about slander? Slander. Now, was Joseph Smith a slanderer? Sidney Rigdon, Portrait of Religious Excess, a book written by Richard Van Wagner, has an interesting chapter called Between Family and Friends. And in that chapter, he talks about the various times that Joseph Smith tried to seduce some of the women within the Mormon community, some of them being very young, such as Nancy Rigdon, who was the daughter of Sidney Rigdon, which is one of his right-hand men. On page 299, Van Wagner says this. He says, talking about some of the women that rebuffed Joseph Smith's, you know, seductions, or at least attempts at seduction, he writes, "Inevitably, Nancy Rigdon, Sarah Pratt," that would be the wife of Orson Pratt, "and Martha Brotherton saw their reputations impugned by an avalanche of slander. The prophet labeled Sarah Pratt a whore from her mother's breast. Martha Brotherton was branded a mean harlot, while Nancy was tagged a poor, miserable girl out of the very slough of prostitution."
Wow.
Coming from a man who many Latter-day Saints believe is a prophet of God. Guilty, obviously, of slandering these women, because we have no evidence that any of those accusations were true. Of course, we go on, we look at the word blasphemy. Now, we would say, coming from our worldview, that certainly Joseph Smith was engaged in a blasphemy. Gordon Hinckley actually said that if the first vision wasn't true, we are engaged in a great blasphemy, which is an interesting term because it shows that Gordon Hinckley realizes just how serious the beliefs of Mormonism are. And I guess in opposition to what Christians have historically believed, he understood that if this wasn't true, they're in trouble.
Bill, he says, this, "We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see." Now, you can go through the book, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, all the way through that last part. That's pages 345, 346. You can go to Gospel Principles, and it has that quote as well. But, I mean, just the very idea of who God is, where a person can receive salvation, and so on. I mean, we're talking about complete denial of the biblical faith.
Another one in the list is disobedience to parents. Now, I'm going to tweak this one a little bit. There was a movie that came out recently called Joseph Smith, Plates of Gold.
Right.
And there was an interesting scene in that movie where Joseph Smith goes to Isaac Hale, the father of Emma Smith, and asks for Emma's hand in marriage. And I've commented on this before. I love the scene because there's Isaac Hale talking to this potential son-in-law with a musket in his hand. I thought, boy, that's a great way to talk to potential beaux, is with a gun in your hands. And but anyway, when Joseph Smith asks Isaac Hale for his daughter's hand in marriage, Isaac says, "No way." And he uses this phrase, "I don't like your business, sir." You know, and I don't know if that was in that exact scene, but that phrase did come out. Isaac Hale did not like the fact that Joseph Smith was a money digger. He didn't like that at all. He didn't feel that he was going to give his daughter a good life, you know, by living like this. He looked at Joseph Smith as being lazy. But yet, even though Isaac Hale did not want Joseph Smith to marry his daughter, Joseph Smith would care less what Isaac Hale had to say about that. And what does he end up doing? He takes his daughter, Emma, and they elope.
Right.
And they go get married behind his back. I'm sure that caused a lot of hard feelings. Even the film brings that out. That did bother Isaac Hale. The movie does give the impression that they kind of ironed out a lot of those differences. But you have to wonder, what was Isaac really thinking about this guy, that he would do that to me and my wishes and undermine what I wanted for my daughter? There's probably Mormons out there that have gone through something very similar to that, having their daughters taken by another Mormon male who wants to marry them, and they're not sure about that. And sure enough, what happens? It's a horrible, tragic marriage, sad to say. Maybe in some cases it actually works out well. You know, who knows? But still, he was disobedient to the wishes of his future father-in-law. And so I would have to say that he would be disobedient to a parent, in that a parent-in-law, if you will. So certainly he would fail in that regard also. We look at heresy is on the list. Now again, going back to teaching false doctrine or blasphemy, Joseph Smith, even though he may not have thought he was teaching heresy, even though a Mormon may not believe that they are believing in heresy, it is still heresy nonetheless. Is a Mormon really off the hook when they have a Bible sitting in front of them, or maybe a concerned Christian friend that goes to them and tells them that what they're believing certainly isn't in accord with what the Bible has to say? So certainly they would be guilty of that. And of course, heresy is a very serious charge. When we look at this list, and certainly we don't have time to go any further than this, but we can see that Joseph Smith didn't even really meet these requirements. He failed in a lot of these areas on this list. And if we're going to believe what this book is trying to get across to us, if he's guilty of these things and he's unrepentant, there is no possible way that he can hope to make it into the celestial kingdom. And I'm sure many Latter-day Saints reading this book themselves see themselves, as we've said before, in the page, on page 25, and know that they probably aren't qualified either.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.